Good morning to all of you. I was looking at the newsletter, and I saw Rocky was speaking this morning, and I was looking all around for him to thank him. But you're stuck with me this morning. I would like to read a couple of verses from Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. We have been in the book of John looking at the sign miracles of Christ. God who at various times and in various ways spoke in the time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, confirmed to us by the apostles. In God established his word and provided his and proved his word by signs, wonders, and miracles. And it is important that how God used signs, wonders, and miracles throughout the scriptures. Throughout the Bible, we see signs, wonders, and miracles. And I'm going to start with an email that was sent to me by a friend and a fellow Christian. It involves a city, or a town called Starkville, and it didn't give much detail, so I googled Starkville. And actually, Starkville is a city in Oktibbeha County in Mississippi. And the campus of the Mississippi State University is partially located in Starkville. Starkville area has been inhabited for over 2,100 years. And its original name was Boardtown. In 1835, Boardtown was established as a county seat of Oktibbeha County, and its name was changed to Starkville in honor of Revolutionary War hero General John Stark. Famous American pilot Charles Lindbergh made a successful landing on the outskirts of Starkville in 1927. Starkville is purportedly the birthplace of T-ball, invented by Dr. Clyde Muse. Notorious American gangster Machine Gun Kelly lived in Starkville for 2 years when he attended the Mississippi State University. Johnny Cash was arrested for public drunkenness though he described it as being picked up for picking flowers in Starkville and held overnight at the city jail on May 11, 1965. In 2007, they held a Johnny Cash flower picking festival in the town. And the festival where he was offered a symbolic posthumous pardon honored Cash's life and music and is expected to become an annual event. The festival was started by someone so that he could be honored for them for his music and his achievements. Now you know more than you need to know about Starkville. I'm going to read this email to you. Curtis and Leroy saw an ad in the Starkville Daily in Starkville, Mississippi, and bought a mule for $100. The farmer agreed to deliver the mule the next day. The next morning, the farmer drove up and said, "Sorry, fellas, I have some bad news. The mule died last night." Curtis and Leroy replied, "Well then, just give us our money back." The farmer said, "Can't do that. I went and spent it already." They said, okay, then just bring us the dead mule. The farmer asked, "What in the world you're gonna do with the dead mule?" Curtis said, "We're gonna raffle him off." The farmer said, "You can't raffle off a dead mule." Leroy said, "We sure can. Heck, we don't have to tell anybody he's dead." A couple weeks later, the farmer ran into Curtis and Leroy at the Piggly Wiggly grocery store and asked, What do you fellows ever do with that dead mule?" They said, "We raffled him off like we said we was going to do." Leroy said, "Shucks, we sold 500 tickets for $2 a piece and made a profit of $898. The farmer said, "My lord, didn't anyone complain?" Curtis said, "Well, the fellow who won got upset, so we gave him his $2 back." Curtis and Leroy have skipped town. And some say they work for the government. They are crunching numbers for the new healthcare program. And some say they work for a firm in Wall Street. I just read this email just to say, what kind of world are we living in? And there's a side note in this email: limit all U.S. politicians to two terms, one in the office and one in prison. It just shows how dishonest our world is and how they can make a profit, and our politicians or businessmen of this world have gone away from the morals and ethics of business, and we can see what kind of a world we're living in. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, we read, "When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, even though one sees no sleep, day or night, then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. The work of God, the men of this world cannot find it. And they can use all the wisdom they have, all the knowledge they have, all the technology they have. They cannot find the work of God. Life magazine's cover of the July 1991 issue asked the question, "Do you believe in miracles?" and reported that thousands of unexplained miraculous phenomena are occurring worldwide. "I did a little digging," said the editor, Peter Bonventry, "and it turned out there had been a rash of sacred apparitions all over the world. There's a worldwide spiritual revival, and it's one of the greatest great stories of our time." And in April 1995, Time magazine devoted an 8-page spread to its cover story on miracles and concluded, "People are hungry for signs." What kind of a world are we living in? People are hungry for signs. And Life magazine and Time magazine could find the spiritual revival. But what kind of a spiritual revival is occurring in this world? A recent Newsweek poll indicates 84% of Americans believe God performs miracles. 48% claim to have witnessed or experienced one. It is nothing new. Jesus told the nobleman whose son was sick at the point of death in Cana, the very same place where Jesus turned water into wine. In John's Gospel chapter 4, Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." Oh, how much control the power of Satan has over the people of this world. After all the signs, wonders, and miracles Jesus did among the people of Israel, his own people, the Jewish nation refused to believe in Christ, but plotted to kill the one who is the hope of the world. Not only the hope of Israel, but the hope of the world. The veil of ignorance and self-righteousness that blinds the eyes of the people of this world would lead them to peril and eternal death. The Bible is full of miracles, signs, and wonders, which are supernatural events, starting from the book of Genesis, from the creation of the universe, to the flood in Noah's time, to the confusion of languages at the Tower of Babel, to destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, to Lot's wife turning into a pillar of salt. The list goes on and on. We can see hundreds and thousands of miracles throughout the scripture. And in Exodus chapter 7, you could turn to Exodus 7 if you like. And in Exodus 7, the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron, your brother, shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of this land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs, my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Then Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded them, so they did. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spoke to Pharaoh. And as the first sign for Pharaoh was the miraculous rod that turned to a serpent. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and sorcerers, so the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. There is no mention of the Egyptian magicians attempting to duplicate the second plague of producing the frogs. They could not do the third plague of lice. God put a limit to what they could do. God has control over Satan. He allowed Job to be tested, but he could not touch his life. God has limited what Satan can do. After all the signs and wonders God showed to Pharaoh in Egypt, we read in the book of Exodus, Pharaoh was not willing to acknowledge it was God Almighty himself behind these signs and wonders. Finally, he could not resist God due to the afflictions he suffered, including the death of his firstborn son, that he let the children of Israel go, but with the plot to pursue them and bring them back into captivity. Then the miracle at the Red Sea was the final defeat of Pharaoh. What was happening to the children of Israel, God's redeemed people? Unbelief and doubt crept in among them. After witnessing all the marvelous works of God, they sinned. They began to murmur, complain, and question Moses. They began to question and disobey God. God intentionally prolongs their 3-day journey to the promised land into 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Many did not enter the promised land at all due to their unbelief. Many generations later, Jesus confronts such people. There is a sequence of events we can find in Matthew 12. In John 11, we see Jesus began to teach and to preach in the Jewish cities, and they reject his message. He had strong warnings for them. John the Baptist heard about the ministry of Jesus in the prison, and he heard about the works of Christ, and he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you heard and see, hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing..." Excuse me. "Are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. But despite the works of Christ and the preaching of John the Baptist, the Pharisees and the religious leaders always had an excuse for their self-righteous, contemptuous, and perverted values. For John came neither eating nor drinking." Excuse me. "And they say, 'He has a demon.' And the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, 'Look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is justified by her children. How perverted are man's views to the point of unpardonable sin." That's what Jesus showed in Matthew 12. And issued a strong warning to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish nation. And as one day Jesus and the disciples were going through the grain fields on the Sabbath day, and the disciples were hungry, and they began to pick heads of grain to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yes, I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath." And then he went on to heal on the day of Sabbath a man with a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" That they might accuse him. Then he said to them, What man is there among you who has one sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Or how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand," and he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. When Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him. And he healed them all, yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends from justice to victory. And in his name Gentiles will trust. And then there was a quarrel about the healings and the miracles of Jesus. And there was a man who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. And he healed him so that the blind and the mute man both spoke and saw. All the multitudes were amazed and said, "Could this be the son of David?" Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub and the ruler of demons." But Jesus knew their hearts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, it is divided against himself." And then Jesus gave them the strongest warning. "Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come." Jesus began to ruffle their feathers a little and given the strongest warning that they are accountable not only for their deeds but their words. The scribes and Pharisees asked for a sign. And some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. I went so far to bring about this thought that we are discussing, as we are discussing the topic of signs, wonders, and miracles as works of God performed directly or through the disciples or through other agents, like God did in the Old Testament through Moses and Aaron or others, the prophets and great men of God. We must be conscious of the fact that we are responsible for not only our deeds, but every idle word we speak. We have no right to question God and doubt his genuine actions. God works in mysterious ways at different times to fulfill his purposes. we do not want to be guilty of sin against the Holy Spirit. Does God perform miracles? Signs and wonders today? Yes, He could and He does. We may not realize when He does a miracle, nor we accept it always. He is in control. He does control the events of this world, although Satan could stand in the way. Why does God perform miracles, signs and wonders? God sometimes does them to reveal Himself to the unbelieving and also to the believing. He does it sometimes to redeem or rescue or protect His people. Sometimes He does it to demonstrate His power. Many believed Jesus was a miracle man, but not the Son of God. How does God do these miracles, signs and wonders? As we go through the scripture, we can see many examples of signs, wonders, and miracles. He can turn inanimate objects into living things, and He can change the molecular structure of material and transform them into totally different material. He can turn water into blood and water into wine. He can create lice out of the dust of the earth. He can create man out of the dust of the ground. He can heal the sicknesses for which there is no cure. He did raise Lazarus from the dead after his body was already in decay. He can reverse the chemical or molecular process. He can override the laws of nature, law of gravity, or other laws of physics, chemistry, and biology. In the hundreds of thousands of miracles we find in the Old and New Testaments, we can find that God chooses the time, the manner, and the place of the miracles so that His divine purposes are fulfilled. Every day, miracles occur. God intervenes in nature and the lives of people. How many times God may have protected us from dangers by keeping us away from certain disasters or devastating illnesses. Miraculously, God raised Christ from the dead. Miraculously, those who trust in Christ will be raptured into heaven one day. This mortal body to be changed into immortal bodies. The ultimate miracle that we are looking forward to. Until then, thank God for the law of gravity that keeps our feet on the ground. Imagine without the law of gravity, things floating around in the air and colliding with each other. In the meantime, we may witness miracles on this earth. Be prepared to recognize God's miracles when they happen. We may hear about others claiming to have performed miracles. If God has used someone for that to happen, praise be to God. I am no one to judge such a person. It is between God and that person. Each one is responsible for his deeds and words. Let God deal with them. Let us not be sign seekers to believe in God or continue to trust in Him. We may have been praying for a miraculous solution to a problem we face without seeking God's will. It may be a very genuine need, but God may not have answered that need, and we could be bitter about it and may even speak to God or others about the negative feelings we have about God. Why God has not answered my prayers? One thing to consider, have you offended God in any way by our actions or words, that God is denying or prolonging the answer until we confess? Our actions or words may have grieved the Holy Spirit. It may be a test of our faith. It may be a test of our faith if we make our faith in God conditional upon God making a solution to the problem by answering our prayer according to our desire. God demands unconditional faith from us because His love is unconditional. His presence with us is unconditional. It may be we are not doing our part. In many miracles of Christ, He wanted people to do certain things before Jesus did or performed the miracles. It could also be a test of our faith. Do you believe in your God-given abilities to do certain things? If we are not willing to take the first step, God cannot act. God sees things beyond our immediate needs. Are we still be willing to honor God with our lives? The Bible warns us of increasing satanic power and influence in the last days, which will cause many to fall away. New Age, divination, magic, necromancy, soothsaying, sorcery, witchcraft, and lying wonders are movements on the increase, and more people are becoming curious about these things. The subtle ways these are promoted in and around the world. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, the Lord has seen this happening in the future, and He already has a prepared response for them. I never knew you. And it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 24, says, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Should that be a concern for us? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. We see the final chapter of Satan's story in the book of Revelation, chapter 29. And when you have time, you can go to Revelation 19 and see the final chapter of Satan's story. And we shall watch this happen from above, safe and secure. The beast and his army is defeated and restricted for eternity. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14 tell us, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. That was the warning in Hebrews chapter 2. "For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" Hebrews was written to the Jewish believers, to the Hebrew believers. Because Apostle Paul saw the danger of neglecting such a great salvation. The possibility of drifting away and getting away from the Word of God and not sticking to the Word of God in our lives can lead us to dangers and disasters. And that is the strong warning that Apostle Paul gave, lest we drift away. And may the Lord enable us to consider His Word and to live by His Word, and that we use our time to study the Word of God and live accordingly. And as we see the lawlessness that increases around us, Satan can deceive us with signs and wonders and other so-called supernatural entities or events. And the world has a curiosity to see signs and wonders, and they can manufacture some so that even the elect could be lured away. May the Lord grant us His grace to be faithful to Him and to the Word that we have been taught. And thank God for the Scriptures that He has given us. That is our anchor that keeps our souls. And may the Lord bless us. May the Holy Spirit guide us and lead us, that we will live holy lives, and that we will follow His Word in our lives and be a blessing to others and lead others to Christ. Let's close in prayer. God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this hour that You granted us to look into Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the encouragement we have in the Scriptures. We thank You for the strong warnings that we have been given in the Scriptures. And we pray that You would lead us and guide us by Your Holy Spirit, that we will be true to the Word, and that we will follow the One who did the true signs, wonders, and miracles, so that His Word is confirmed among us, so that His Word is established on this earth and forever. The One whose name is word of God will one day come in judgment of the lawlessness and Satan and his power. And he will be defeated once and for all. We thank you for the victory you have won for us on the cross of Calvary. And we thank you for enabling us to follow you in our lives. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and keeps us true to your word. Bless us and keep us in your grace. And grant us your guidance and leading for the rest of the week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.